Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September evenings. You won't need fancy equipment, just find a clear view of the sky and bring your curiosity. Before heading out, grab a sweater or a light jacket, then settle onto a blanket, a folding chair, or reclining lounger, and lean back to take in the beauty of the star-spangled sky overhead. As darkness falls after sunset, the only bright planet in the evening sky is Jupiter. Look for it low in the southeast as twilight deepens. And where's southeast, you might ask? Easy! Just note where the sun sets, then turn around to face the spot on the opposite horizon. That's roughly east, and the king of planets will be unmistakable in that part of the sky soon after the sun goes down. Another shortcut is to look on September 2nd or on the 29th, when the planet's gleaming beacon will be just to the moon's lower right. Although the moon will come and go, throughout September, Jupiter will be riding high in the nighttime sky until just before dawn. Now, I don't normally encourage you to look at something telescopically, but early this month, Jupiter is putting on a rare show that you'll need a small telescope or good binoculars to see. On the night of Wednesday, September 2nd, and in the wee hours of the 3rd, a casual look at Jupiter through a telescope will show none of its four bright Galilean moons at all. Now, one of the four is often hidden behind or in front of the planet, and it's not rare to see just two of them. In fact, a week ago I saw only one, but only a few times each century do all four moons hide simultaneously. And the placement couldn't be better for the Western Hemisphere. This disappearing act runs from 9:43 p.m. to 11:29 p.m. Pacific Time, which for us East Coasters is 12:43 to 2:29 a.m. on the 3rd. Speaking of disappearances, where the heck is Venus? Well, a few months ago, the so-called evening star turned into the morning star, and it's been dominating the pre-dawn sky ever since. It'll be obvious well up in the east to you early risers. And it'll make a spectacular pairing with a hair-thin crescent moon on the morning of the 16th. A few days later after that, Venus glides to within a half a degree of the bright, icy white star Regulus. Seasonally speaking, September is a time of transition. Sunset comes earlier and earlier, by 7:30 p.m. most everywhere. Another thing that's winding down is summer itself, here in the Northern Hemisphere. The equinox is on the 22nd at 5:19 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At that moment, the sun will be directly overhead, as seen from the equator, and heading south in the sky. You can impress your friends with this nifty factoid about the equinox. On that day, no matter where you live, the sun rises due east and sets due west. Summer might be ending astronomically, but temperature-wise, we still have some warm days ahead of us, and most of summer's stars can still be seen quite well. Topping the list is the trio of bright stars collectively called the Summer Triangle. Finding them is easy, even if your backyard is hopelessly awash with light pollution. Lift your gaze up, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead as darkness falls. That's Vega. It's in the constellation Lyra, the Lyre, and it's relatively close as stars go, just 25 light-years away. Astronomers gauge a star's brightness by a number called its magnitude, and Vega is an important star in this scheme. Some 2100 years ago, an ancient Greek astronomer named Hipparchus decided to create a method for organizing stars according to their brightness. He called the most luminous ones stars of the first magnitude, and the fainter ones were ranked 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, which marked the limit of visibility with the eye. Hipparchus picked Vega as his anchor star, and so its magnitude is 0.0. Now, it turns out that four other nighttime stars are brighter than Vega, and one of them is in the evening sky during September. I'll reveal its identity in a moment, but look around yourself to see if you can figure out which one it is. If you're looking up at Vega, you should also be seeing the other two corners of the summer triangle. One is to the south of Vega, by about three times the width of your fist held at arm's length. That's Altair, and it's the main star in the constellation of Aquila, the eagle. The third star is about two fists from Vega toward east. That star is called Deneb, a westernized version of the Arabic phrase for hen's tail. Deneb does mark the tail of a bird, but it's a graceful swan, the constellation Cygnus. The swan's head, a star called Albireo, is about midway between Vega and Altair. And in between Deneb and Albireo is a row of three stars that mark the swan's body and wings. If you're able to get away from city lights and out under a really dark, moonless sky, you'll see that the Swan is gliding right down the middle of the Milky Way's softly glowing river of starlight. Here's another factoid for you. Deneb is roughly 100 times farther away than Vega, but you can see that it's still quite bright, so why is that? That's because Deneb pumps out at least 100,000 times more light than our Sun does. It's a real powerhouse of a star. So that's the summer triangle. As the weeks go by, this easy-to-spot trio will gradually migrate westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. Okay, time's up. Have you found the star that's brighter than Vega? Well, if you look west, above and to the left of where the sun set, there's a star that looks just about as bright. That's Arcturus, and technically it does outshine Vega, but only by 7%. Actually, Vega probably looks the brighter of the two, both because it's overhead, where there's the least haze, and because Arcturus is slightly reddish in color. For more information about all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with the Lyre, the Eagle, and the Swan, and explore the myths and legends surrounding them. Until then, I wish you clear skies.